What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Shooting the Sith. I'm your host, Robert Slavinsky. With me today is Mike from Misery Point Radio. What's going on, man?
What is going on, dude? Cool new intro. That was badass.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool intro. I have a better one, I think, for Bridging the Geekdoms, but we'll get to that one another day. Just checking my stream here. I'm kind of laggy. You're pretty good. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, what's going on, everybody? I see we have one person watching right now. Hi, that one person.
Hey, but, one person.
I wanted to bring Mike on here and discuss Star Wars. He's probably one of the more fun people to talk about when it comes to Star Wars. That's part of the spoilerverse. So I wanted to bring him on and discuss some of the things that are going on right now when to the fandom. Recently, Mandalorian dropped and the season finale, and it started bringing up a whole bunch of questions and different things that people are really starting to talk about. Mainly, are they trying to retcon or in a way remove the sequels from canon? I know that you're a Star Wars fan. I know that the last time I think we talked about Star Wars, you didn't watch The Mandalorian at all. Have you seen it yet, or have you watched any of it yet?
I am now caught up on both seasons of The Mandalorian, and while I had to fucking, you know, bite the bullet to hop on the Disney Plus bandwagon, I'm glad I did, because my old school Star Wars fandom didn't want me to like it, but I absolutely loved it, and I think it was probably one of the best decisions I've made in a long time. So yeah, man, I'm good to go. I'm all caught up, late to the party, but you know, we're there.
There we go. I'm trying to see if this helps. I'm showing a lot of lag on my end, so I apologize to people watching. I'm trying to fix it here, but I'm glad that you're all caught up, because it plays a big part in our discussion here.
I had a feeling we were going to go down that rabbit hole for sure.
But let me first, when you first saw, and we're not going to, you know, The Mandalorian or anything, but first saw that finale for season two, and you saw Luke Skywalker come down the hallway, just slicing and dicing all those, what were they called? Dark Troopers.
Yeah, the Dark Troopers.
What were you thinking there?
It was kind of a mixed bag, I guess, of emotions, excitement, irritation at the same time. I guess the first thing I was like, okay, this is kind of cool, you know? And then I was like, I don't know, man, somehow it kind of feels like a cheap cash in. I couldn't shake that element of it. But that being said, the scene itself and how it played out, I felt was the scene was awesome. But then at the same time, my super old school nerd self was like, that didn't seem very Luke Skywalker-y. At least in the sense of how he was portrayed, you know, how he looked and kind of the feeling and the era that it was evoking. I felt like there was definitely a disconnect from how what I perceived that Luke Skywalker would have acted like, in the sense that he was like all aggression. You know what I'm saying? Not like this cool, calm, like if you just kind of walk through and ho hum, I'm kind of hacking up these dudes because I'm awesome and, you know, force pushing them and throwing them about here and there and just had that very stoic look. But he looked like fucking, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to tear you all apart and I'm just going to just destroy everything. So it kind of seemed off to me. And I don't know if that was intentional. I don't know if that was like maybe they wanted you to see a different side of it, or maybe it's foreshadowing to something else where they're going to say, maybe that wasn't really Luke Skywalker, you know, who knows what they're going to do. So I guess I was confused. I enjoyed it. I thought it was awesome, but I kind of walked away from it going, I don't really know how to process what I just saw.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I kind of felt the same at first, because, I mean, obviously for me, it was kind of like, who is that? Is that Ahsoka? Is that Luke? Then you see the green saber, you see the, you know, the glove hand, all that kind of stuff. You're like, okay, that's Luke. And then I'm sitting there like, wow, he's really sharp right now. He's just going in tearing shit apart.
Right.
I think it was intentional. You know, you're saying, I don't know if it was intentional, if that's something that needed to be done. I do believe it was intentional. And I think the reason that it's important that they showed it like that is because people wanted that Luke to show up in the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
And he never did.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw a powerful Luke. We did. But he was powerful with the Force. We didn't get to really see him portray any of those lightsaber skills or Jedi skills, with the exception of, you know, Force projection, really.
Right.
And that was the reason I think they went the route they did in showing him just tearing apart those droids, essentially, because, one, they're not people. And I think that's very important to realize there. You know, they weren't people, so it wasn't like he was killing soldiers or innocent people.
Yeah, good call.
So, you know, they have the droids there, and, you know, but it was all about, like, look, you guys wanted a badass Luke. Here he is, thankfully.
So you think it was kind of fan service?
I mean, isn't all of Star Wars fan service anymore?
It felt very oddly specific, though, to me.
What's going on, Andrew? Thanks for stopping by and, you know, watching the show here. Apologies if my stream isn't great. My internet is just really bad right now. I'm hoping watching it as I go here, I seem a bit laggy. Mike seems a little bit better than I do, so apologies for that. But no, I mean, Star Wars, when it comes to the fan service, absolutely. You have to. The great thing with Favreau and Filoni, what they've done with The Mandalorian, is they've made it their own thing, but just little bits and pieces of fan service throughout, which is what it needs. It doesn't need to be all fan service, but it also can't just be all new, like what they try to do with the sequel trilogies, essentially.
I want to say just outright that I'm a huge fan of Jon Favreau. I think he's probably one of the most underappreciated filmmakers right now, considering that he's done work with blockbuster stuff as well as kind of the indie stuff back when he started. I would have never in a million years pictured him as being a Star Wars guy, and I feel like he just fucking nailed it. I think whether or not it's his personal knowledge or the knowledge of the people that he has surrounded himself with, either way, I think it's perfect. I really thoroughly enjoy his take and his interpretations, and everybody that's directed episodes on The Mandalorian. And I know that we're not here to talk about The Mandalorian, but Jon Favreau, he's fucking legit, and I wish he would get his own movie trilogy. That would be awesome.
No, I mean, it's important to talk about The Mandalorian here, because that is where everybody, this whole retcon and removing of the sequel trilogy place. It's with what Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni are doing right now. And, the knowledge of Favreau when it comes to Star Wars, I'm sure, is rather great. I mean, he is a child of Star Wars. I mean, he got into making movies because of movies and things like Star Wars and that time period. So it's no surprise that he has the love and the ability to build a story like this. But I think the knowledge more so comes from Dave Filoni's side, who's a student of George Lucas and was since 2005 that he started working with George Lucas. So he's been in Star Wars for 15 years, which, you know, get a shout out to my boy Dave Filoni, Pittsburgh native. What's going on? But he's, you know, he's definitely the brains when it comes to lore, or Favreau is very knowledgeable and understanding on how to build the story, how to properly give that fan service and have the connective tissues to everything else. And that's where I think, and why those two work so well together. And I think that is why the conversation right now is, are they retconning? Are they removing the sequel trilogy? Because we can sit here and say Abrams and Ryan, John, Chris, all the people who were either wrote or filmed the sequel trilogy, while they're all fans of Star Wars, they wanted so badly to make it their own and do something different. Like, yeah, we got the legacy characters. Everybody loves the legacy characters, but We're going to go this route now, you know, because who wants to talk about what happened in 77 and in the 80s? It's new. It's kind of like, okay, yeah, I get that. But as Favreau and Filoni are showing, you could have new as well as respect what has come before it and give that fan service.
Yeah. Yeah, if no, they, that makes perfect sense.
And if you think, if they would have been ones running the sequel trilogy, just imagine what we would have gotten instead of what we did get. And I'm not somebody who hates the sequels. I enjoy the sequels to a certain point. I love The Force Awakens, Last Jedi's, meh, the Rise of Skywalker's, meh. But they're Star Wars. And appreciate them for what they are. And for the biggest thing is for giving me the opportunity to enjoy Star Wars with my kids in a theater.
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge, I think, for a lot of people. And, you know, last time you and I talked, you know, I had kind of gone down the, you know, I was probably hating on it a little more than I intended to, but here's what I got a chance to do for the first time over this holiday, which is literally watch all of the movies kind of in the order on the timeline, for the first time ever, which was awesome. And so over the course of, I don't know, 5 or 6 days or something, kind of gave me a new appreciation for it because it had been a while since I'd really digested it all. And when you digest it all at the same time, I think it kind of, it feels different. It kind of, it makes more, not just like linear sense, but it just, it's kind of like everything is fresh in your mind when you move on to the next part of it. So There's those little details that you're like, oh yeah, that just happened. So stuff that you might miss if you watch them months apart or a year apart, or you don't digest any material until the next ones come out, which could be 2 years down the road, right? So yeah. So I think doing that, it kind of made me wonder why I just didn't take that leap, you know, long ago, aside from the fact that it just takes a lot of time to do that. But yeah. So it kind of gave me a new appreciation for it, and I think made me realize that I was probably being overly critical at the, you know, on the borderline of being like super elitist fanboy on the old stuff, because of course that's my era. But there's still things I like and dislike. But I guess if we're going to talk about starting to get into, do we decide what deserves, right? The deserve word, what deserves to be canon, what deserves to be continuity, what deserves to be a part of the official stuff. You know, it kind of sometimes leaves a bad taste in my mouth, because you're okay to not like something and talk all the shit about it you want, but who are you to say as a fan that doesn't belong there, right? I'm taking that away from you. You can't have that now. I think that to me kind of crosses a little bit of a line, and it reminds me of, like, I don't know if you played like the Mass Effect trilogy, but you know, I was working for GameStop and when Mass Effect 3 came out, and people lost their minds over the ending of Mass Effect 3 to the point where they literally petitioned to get a new game made, you know. And then when like Sopranos, when the season finale of Sopranos, and people were all pissed about that and they wanted a new ending for Sopranos. And when, you know, when Lost came out, you know, just that whole thing of like, people are demanding that people that make shit that satisfies me. God damn it. That's your job, you know? And I mean, I guess I have been there before. I have kind of had that mindset on some things that I was not happy with. So, but now I'm in a place where I go, regardless of my personal feelings, what right does it give me to tell a studio or an entity or a body that this is what they do for a living, that they're doing it wrong, and they owe me what I think they should give me? And I guess I have a problem with that.
Yeah, I don't get me wrong. I mean, the issues with what should be canon, what should not, really came about in 2013, 14, whenever they were like, all Legends or all Extended Universe is Legends now.
Right.
And that's where it all started. The Force Awakens came out. I think people were like, okay. Little bit of a rehash of A New Hope, but let's see what else they could do. Rian Johnson did his, probably the most divisive Star Wars movie to date, sure. Project anything to date. Then The Rise of Skywalker came out and people were like,
what the hell was that?
What? Yeah. You know, and I think that it just, it was something that built, because it was like, okay, Force Awakens, we can get behind it. Let's see where it goes. Then it was like Last Jedi. Okay. Then the Rise of Skywalker. Okay. Okay. Like, can we have a redo? Can we have a redo? And I think that's where, how it all became to be what it is. I think the whole thing, you know, being part of Star Wars fandom since like 1994, 95 myself, I've never sat there. Like, I've never read all of the extended universe, expanded universe. I mean, I read parts of it. I played the games. I did this and that, but I understood that there was other stuff out there that I had no idea about.
Right.
That didn't mean that if I saw something that I didn't like, that I was like, oh no, forget it. No, not canon. Like, that wasn't a thing back then. And now all of a sudden people feel like, well, even though there are parts of the expanded universe that sucked, we never said, nope, that's not canon. You just accepted it. But now that the movies, that there's things that you don't really like, instead of just accepting it and saying, well, that's part of it, but I don't pay attention. Nope, we got to get rid of it.
Yeah. And I think it's
you know, like,
it's the whole, and I hate the phrase cancel culture, but it kind of feels cancel culture-y to me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, people just want to disavow its existence. And yeah, you could find holes and, well, that doesn't match up with this and this and that. And, you know, the whole, you know, Obi-Wan with the droids thing that people are, you know, having a hard time with. And I'm like, I get all that, dude, you're right. But you can go through every movie that you've ever seen and find a plot hole, usually because they have parts of a screenplay that are written but never get actually produced, and they cut that shit out, and then it leaves a hole. That answers some of it, you know. But the reality is, yeah, man, when you're writing this shit, I mean, those continuity checks are brutal. You might miss something, you know. It's entirely possible. But regardless, it comes down to people's feelings, and it comes down to people that are watching it or reading it. And I've read, like, for instance, all the expanded stuff. I'm a huge fan of the expanded stuff, especially, like, you know, the Dark Empire era and the, you know, the Tales of the Jedi era, kind of all that stuff. I love it. I think it's cool. Hugely got me actually reinvigorated about the whole franchise. So, but you can argue that, you know, it belongs or it doesn't belong. I guess I kind of look at it like, let's say that you're a content creator, you're an author, you're a filmmaker, you're a whatever the hell you are, and you get permission from the powers that be who are in charge of said IP, and they say, okay, you can do a project, we'll license it to you, this and that. You know, at some point, just that level alone says it is now part of the universe, you know, whether or not it belongs in the original continuity timeline, or it's expanded, or it's legacy, or it's this, or it's that, or whatever the hell they decide to call it in 5 years when they call it something else, who knows? It's still a part of said universe. And just by rights of them granting the ability for that thing to get made into existence, it is now there. Like it or not, it's there. It's a thing. And some people just can't accept that, you know, just like, don't like it, don't watch it, don't read it, don't whatever. And go online, talk shit about it, do all you want, but it's still there. You're not wiping it away from existence. It's not like, you know, you're covering up your mafia tracks and, you know, burying it in a ditch somewhere. It's still there. People are still going to find it. They're still going to watch it. And guess what, motherfucker? People are still going to like it, even if you don't. So, you know, that's where I'm at with that element of it. I think that if it gets made, it's there, you know, and you don't have to like it. And you probably won't like all of it. And I know me, I'm a grumpy old bastard. I like almost nothing anymore. Admitted it. I know you guys always tell me that. I'm going on the record. You're right. I'm wrong. What else do you want me to say? I enjoy the Star Wars. I enjoy all of it, even if it's stuff I don't enjoy. I still enjoy the fact that it's there and it gives me something to talk about.
Yeah. And you're not wrong. I mean, there's so much that's out there that it's okay not to like something. And that's kind of what I think a lot of people don't understand, that you can be part of a fandom. You can enjoy all of, you can love Star Wars, but there could be aspects that you're just not a fan of.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to be like that. It's, you know, I mean, I love the hockey. I love the NHL. Does that mean I love every single team? No. You know, I mean, that, like, that's kind of how you can look at it from a standpoint, you know?
Good analogy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. But, you know, when it comes down to it, this idea of removing the sequels or retconning the sequels. How, in your eyes, how likely is that of being a possibility with how divided the fan base has come from the sequels? Do you think it's even possible, or even in the thought of Lucasfilm, to say, you know what, maybe we should do something about that?
I don't see it being something that you would say they're going to go on the record and just strike it and say, nope, never mind, changing our minds. Is it possible? Yeah, for sure. I've learned everything is possible. But I don't see it being likely. I think, because if for one reason alone, it kind of sets a really dangerous precedent that you're going to let the fans, if you will, dictate the content of films that you are paying money for. So I think that the idea that, you know, the owners of the content will, I guess, bow to the pressure, I just don't, I think just from that element alone of, now it sets the precedent that they will dictate here going forward, if they're happy with something, that you will now be obligated to change what you've created. I just don't see a lot of people going down that road. Ultimately, they probably could, and, you know, a few years down the road, it'll be a wash and people will forget it like they always do. But at least on the immediate time frame, I don't see it being something they consider seriously. I mean, if you look at, for instance, like the MCU and how fucking convoluted that's all gotten, you know, with different timelines. And I think that's, you know, you've got this element and this element and this element, and people just finally said, whatever. Whatever, MCU, we'll figure it out, and we'll like this, but we won't like that. I kind of see Star Wars in that same realm.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're not wrong. I think that the thought of, and the idea of retconning or removing the sequels in some form or fashion just isn't a smart move in the immediate future. Now, yeah. You know, something people point to, and I'm going to pull this up here. This here is the upcoming releases of Star Wars content over the next few years. One thing that's missing from that is the Book of Boba Fett. That isn't on there. That is also coming out.
Yeah.
Now, when you take a look at this, so you have Rangers of the New Republic, which is going to be taking place around the same time as The Mandalorian. It's a spinoff from The Mandalorian taking place as they're setting up the New Republic. The Bad Batch takes place back during Order 66, so that's nothing, anything. Obi-Wan Kenobi is before Episode 4. Ahsoka takes place around the Mandalorian time. Andor is back before Episode 4. Lando, we don't know when or how that's going to be. I've heard rumors that that's going to be an animated show. Visions is animated. Rogue Squadron. Now, this is the one I wanted to talk about the most here, because The Acolyte takes place after the High Republic, and a droid story is just stupid. So,
strike it from existence before it even exists.
But the Rogue Squadron is going to take place. They announced this on Star Wars. They posted on Star Wars. Patty Jenkins, who was the director of Wonder Woman 84, is the one that's going to be writing and directing Rogue Squadron. It's taking place after the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
So our awesome first foray into after sequel trilogy stuff is nothing part of the Skywalker saga, nothing connected to that. It's about Rogue Squadron, about pilots, that kind of thing. You can't exactly, if not going to retcon and fix it all and remove it now, they can't exactly make a movie that takes place after it and then say 10 years down the line, you know what, let's get rid of all that. it wouldn't work very well.
Yeah, no, it's a good call, because you have to consider what else is in development, just from a business standpoint, going back to, you know, why they probably wouldn't do it. Look what else would get affected in the entire universe of projects that's in concept development or in production or this or that, you know, and you're asking people to make a huge investment on their time, a huge investment in money, a huge investment in just kind of everything. And especially now where cinema in general is kind of an industry that's facing some challenges with, you know, COVID and all that stuff, and things going either to video or to TV or to subscription services or this or that, having to reevaluate their entire financial budgets. And then you're going to throw in some kind of a rescinding of its value in the middle of that. It just doesn't make logical sense from a business standpoint, that no matter how much pressure they get, they're going to say, yeah, fuck it, it doesn't count anymore. I just can't see it.
I think the biggest thing that I think people really want is a stronger connection from the sequels to that of the original trilogy and, in a way, the prequel trilogy. And The Rise of Skywalker tried to do that.
It did.
The Last Jedi didn't. Force Awakens really didn't. With the exception of the characters, there was no other really, you know, through, you know, line from one trilogy to that one.
Sure.
And I believe that it's something that they can do with what they're doing with all of that.
Yeah.
Because especially Rangers of the New Republic and Ahsoka, those two specifically, and The Mandalorian and The Book of Boba Fett, in a way, that all takes place after the original trilogy, but before the sequel trilogy.
The sequels, yeah.
Think of it like this, and this is how I've been trying to explain it to people. We had the original trilogy. What, 15 years later, we got the prequel trilogy, which explained everything that we saw in the original trilogy, in a way.
Kinda, yeah.
They can do that now. They can improve the sequel trilogy without necessarily removing or retconning, which I'm sure they'll retcon some things, little things here and there, I'm sure they will. But they're going to do that by what they're doing on Disney Plus with all these shows. That's what's going to happen, because what people also can't forget, all right, every time a movie came out over the last 5, 6, 7 years, whatever it's been, they've had prequel books to the movie. So you have the Aftermath series that, you know, all takes place before The Force Awakens, or takes place before The Last Jedi, or before The Rise of Skywalker, that is set sometimes years prior to that movie. So they've already built a lore, a prequel-ish lore to those films. So if they remove, and comics, they have comics also. So if they were going to remove those three movies, it's not just removing three movies, and it's not just retconning three movies. I mean, the story, the amount of story that they have based around those three films, there's quite a bit. I mean, there's dozens of books and comics out, and I don't think people realize that. I think that that's something that, you know, when people are like, oh, they need a retcon, or they need to remove the sequels, they're just thinking the movies. Now, an argument that I got into with somebody was, well, why don't they just move it all over to Legends and then just start new? So start from The Mandalorian and just go.
Just go, yeah.
I guess it's a possibility. I guess they could do that. You know, when you think about timelines, and, you know, you can have a timeline here, and then you can have a timeline that shoots down here. You know, what the heck? It's Star Wars. It's mystical. It's all that jazz. Okay, yeah. But do we want that? And does it really matter if they do that or not? Because The Mandalorian, I think, unanimously is enjoyed by everybody. So,
yeah, I would say yes, it is.
So why not just say, you know what? We got the sequels. They are what they are. More of this, though. Give us more of this and be done with it.
Yeah.
I don't understand the mindset of people. Like, just push forward with what we're getting that's good. Be excited about what's coming. Because, again, I'm going to pull this up again. That's a lot of stuff.
Dude, you know? It's a lot of stuff. Yeah. And, you know, it's you probably won't like all of it. Like, you, Robert Slavinsky, will probably not like all of it. But the little Timmies of the world, you know, who are just getting introduced to it. And, you know, the Grandpa Jacks and all these guys that, you know, come from different generations, and maybe some like animated, some don't like animated, some like live action, you know, whatever. There's something in that batch of stuff for everybody in that enjoys the Star Wars, like, I guess you call it the Star Wars multiverse at this point. But that's a lot of content, and conceptually, in fact, the only one I hadn't heard of was the Bad Batch, and I was laughing because that's just a funny name. I actually thought it was like I thought it was like a fake name, like somebody was being a smartass and just saying.
Well, no, Bad Batch is it's based off. So it's the Clone Wars animation from right. The Clone Wars series, and the final season that just came out earlier this year had a small arc in it of clone troopers that were called the Bad Batch because there were issues with their cloning, and they weren't exactly like the other clones. They had some weird things going on with them.
Gotcha.
They were called the Bad Batch, and they would be sent in to do crazy missions. So we kind of had a backdoor pilot during the last season of Clone Wars for the Bad Batch,
which I haven't seen the last couple of seasons on Clone Wars. I'm not caught up yet on that.
Yeah. But,
okay. But, that makes sense.
But the Bad Batch, from what we've seen, it appears it's going to be taking place during Order 66.
Okay.
So that's going to be pretty cool to see Order 66 from that side, because even though Clone Wars season 7 had aspects of Order 66 in it, and then we saw part of it in Revenge of the Sith, I think, at least me, I want to see a lot more. You know, I mean, I don't want to constantly live through Order 66 again, because it is a pretty heartbreaking thing to watch. But I definitely want to see different aspects and different points of view on it. So that's what Bad Batch is. But, you know, the thing that people need to realize, I'm going to jump around here real quick. Rangers of the New Republic and Ahsoka, those are being spearheaded by Favreau and Filoni. So the two men that are having so much success with The Mandalorian, they're also doing Rangers of the New Republic and Ahsoka. So you can only assume and guess, yeah, they're probably going to be just as successful. Andor is a spinoff of Rogue One, which is, in a lot of people's opinion, the best of the prequels or Disney era films. Rogue One was huge. And then Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi, everybody's wanted that. You know? So right there, that's four shows out of, what is that, 10? Four shows that most likely are going to be big hits and enjoyed in some form or fashion. And let's not forget that Obi-Wan is going to reunite Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen back together.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to see Darth Vader. That's what people have been asking for. We want more Darth Vader. We're getting it.
Yeah.
And I think that people need to calm down. I think they need to take a, you know, a
seat. Calm the F down, MFers. Seriously, don't be like me. Chill the F out.
Get rid of this. Stop with the whole cancel culture crap. We're sick of it. It's done with. But again, you when you think about it, they're giving the fans what they want, and they are. And I think they realize the sequel trilogy, we didn't give them what they wanted. We thought we knew what they wanted, but we didn't give them what they wanted.
Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. Right? That's what. Hey, I don't want to go down another rabbit hole, but I have to ask this because maybe I missed something, but correct me if I'm wrong, which I probably am. Okay, so you were talking about Rogue One a minute ago, which, by the way, I have to concur, was fantastic. I absolutely love that. And then you had Solo, which were part of the, and I believe they were going to call it the anthology, the Star Wars anthology or something like that. And it was going to be a continuing. And there was supposed to be some more, but then I didn't hear anything else after Solo. Did I miss something? Was there another project that they announced, or did they drop something that was going to be part of that?
Nothing that was officially announced, because you had, you know, the 3, 7, 8, 9,
mm-hmm.
you had Rogue One and Solo.
Mm-hmm.
They're what year was this? 2016, maybe, at Comic-Con or D23 or Star Wars Celebration, something like that. They were supposed to come out on stage and go, and here's one of the next projects in our lineup, Boba Fett. They were supposed to do a Boba Fett film directed by Josh Trank.
That's what it was.
And that fell apart because of what happened on set behind the scenes of Fantastic Four, Josh Trank's Fantastic Four, because of how difficult it was to work with him, that Fox had working with him. Disney and Lucasfilm was like, you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. And they walked away from it. But aspects of that Boba Fett film found its way into The Mandalorian, and I'm sure a lot of it's going to find its way into the Book of Boba Fett series. So,
got it.
While we didn't get it back then, in a way we're getting it now, which is nice. But yeah,
so I mean, then the quote-unquote anthology aspect, is that still alive? Will there still be kind of these one-off films that are just kind of thrown out there for the hell of it?
Obi-Wan Kenobi and Andor appear to be the next two that are like that. Obi-Wan Kenobi is speculated to be 6 episodes, and it's a one season, one and done thing.
Okay.
So that's kind of like the anthology
but
thing.
But not a feature film, not a theatrical not a film. Release.
No. Nothing on the feature film. I don't know what Rogue Squadron is going to be. Is okay. that going to be a one and done? Is it going to lead to a new trilogy? No one really knows at this point, because there's also the Rian Johnson trilogy, which I have heard is still in the works. I talked to somebody who told me it is still in the works. It is not officially canceled by Disney or Lucasfilm. So it's still in the works, which is a trilogy. Rian Johnson is a trilogy that he was making.
Right.
You have Kevin Feige from Marvel Studios fame. He has an idea for a Star Wars feature. You have Taika Waititi. You know, Thor, Ragnarok, and Love and Thunder fame. He's got a Star Wars movie in the works. There's a good bit coming film-wise, but nobody really knows. Are they going to be one-offs? Are they going to be trilogies, with the exception of Rian Johnson, who...
And will they even happen to begin with?
Exactly.
Yeah,
that is another thing. Or will they say, you know what, this is a little more ambitious, I'm going to move you to Disney Plus to be a series, which is what I fully expect to happen with Rian Johnson's outline.
Okay.
And whether he stays on as producer, directing, writer, that story, from what I hear, Lucasfilm was really excited about it and they want to see it come to fruition. But again, they have the cold feet from what happened from The Last Jedi. They have cold feet, and they really liked Rian Johnson. He was the only, his production was the only production prior to The Mandalorian, as far as we know, that had no issues at all. You know, when it came to Rogue One, they changed directors, you know, secretly they changed directors. The Force Awakens, there was back and forth, script rewrites, George Lucas debacle, all that kind of stuff on The Force Awakens. The Rise of Skywalker, you know, you had Colin Trevorrow leave the project. J.J. Abrams come into the project. So all of their Solo, look what happened there. You know, Miller and Lord had to be essentially pushed out and Ron Howard brought in.
Jettisoned.
Yeah. So, you know, there's been issues with everything. And as far as we know, with the exception of Mark Hamill saying, I do not like the way they're taking Luke Skywalker, there was no issues with The Last Jedi. So they like him, but they haven't been willing to move forward yet with his project. And I don't really know why. I don't understand it, because if they're excited about it, and with the ability to utilize Disney Plus now and the technology that they have, I'm not going to say that it's cheap to make these things, because they are like film productions.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not costing them $300, $400 million to make a 5-6 episode show. You know, I mean, I'm sure it's probably around the $100 million mark, somewhere around there, especially if it's on a smaller scale. I see Boba Fett being a lower amount. You know,
You're not a doctor, but you play one on TV.
Yeah, there we go. I don't have a degree in film money or film whatever. I'm sure.
You don't have your Star Wars degree, Dr. Stravinsky.
But the cost is less than what it would be to make an entire trilogy, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So why not just say, you know what? We're worried a little bit of what could happen if we do a Rian Johnson trilogy. It's not as risky to throw it on Disney Plus. Why not give it a shot? Because there are fans of The Last Jedi, you know, and I think that there's enough excitement and interest in it, because I, for one, while I'm not a big fan of The Last Jedi, I like Rian Johnson. I think he's a very talented writer. He's a good director, probably above average director, but he's a really good writer. And I like the way he writes things. And given the ability to write something of his own and not be stuck with the trilogy aspect or, you know, a pre-made story, essentially, I think he could do some pretty cool things.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that's what they need to do. We kind of got off topic. I don't even know how we got to here. But
it was me. I railroaded you with the anthology question.
But I think there's a lot that's going to happen between now, over the next even 5-6 years. I mean, this year, they said, is the next few years, which is about 3 years. You know, 3-4 years is what a few years works out to being. Rogue Squadron, I think, is probably going to be the last thing to come out in all of this, because Rogue Squadron is due to come out December of 2023.
Okay.
I mean, that's a lot.
A lot. And, you know, so, and I'm still kind of, I guess, not quite knowledgeable on this element, but none of that is going to be considered canon, according to what I've heard, but that may or may not be the case. So, which brings us back to the original point. If they fuck with the other timelines, how does it affect this timeline and how this stuff will be regarded, right?
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to the whole thing of, yeah, if they screw with this timeline with the sequel trilogy, where does this all fit?
Right.
You know, and who decides what and what isn't canon? Technically, Lucasfilm decides.
Right.
That is what they do. They're the ones that say, okay, these are the stories moving forward. This is what we're going to go with. This is what we're following.
And the question is, do they decide? I mean, I don't even know if this is a conscious decision, but when they go into, say, pre-production, they go, we're going to make this canon. Don't F it up. Or do they watch it after it comes out and go, yeah, so not canon, you know, sorry about that. I know we told you, you know, there was a chance, but yeah, no, you're out of the club. So, I would like to know how that conversation happens at the boardroom level. So we want some more canon stuff. I know this guy, he looks canon, but that guy, no, he's not canon guy.
Don't get me wrong. There's part of Lorian among them. I think some of the aliens look too human than, you know, too Star Trek-y. Some of the aliens. You can definitely tell that Lucas's fingerprints or hands or, you know, like, it's taken 7 years, but you're starting to see them really pull away from George Lucas.
Yeah.
And I think the further we get away from George Lucas, we're going to really start to hear that from people. And that's why I think the more you have someone like Filoni involved, the better it is. Because he was a student of Lucas and he understands the lore. And does he have the same vision that Lucas had? Probably not. You know, he doesn't have the same mind. They're not the same person, but he understands Star Wars. And I don't know if you ever watched the behind the scenes, what is it called? Disney Gallery on Disney Plus. And it has all the making of season one. There's that one episode where he's like, look, The Phantom Menace is a genius movie. And he goes into why it is probably, and when you sit there, you're like, holy crap, I've been looking at that movie the wrong way the whole time. Because he understands it so much. He realizes what Lucas was trying to do and how everything connects to a certain point. And that's who I want running everything. And if you ask me, if Lucasfilm came and be like, Robert Slavinsky, what do you think? Who do you think should be in charge of Star Wars? I would say Dave Filoni, that guy right there. Dave Filoni, because he understands everything. And if it's not Dave Filoni, get George Lucas in there. You know, I mean, granted, yes, George Lucas gave us the prequels. I get that. I enjoy the prequels. I'm not a big fan of the whole political aspect, but it was an important part of what he was building in his eye. He's the man with the vision. It's his universe. I'd rather have him than, say, Kathy Kennedy signing off on things, who, while she's a great producer, hasn't been very good at running a studio.
She writes a lot of checks.
Yeah, yeah, she really does. No, I'm going to kind of get to something here. So, sticking with this, people are now freaking out because they want stuff retconned and fixed, because Grogu, this guy right here, Grogu, which I got to thank my fiance. She got me that for Christmas. I love it.
Nice.
He is now with Luke Skywalker, and we know what happens to Luke Skywalker 20 years from now, Star Wars time.
Right.
People are freaking out. Grogu's going to die. He's going to die. He's with Luke. He's going to die. So now they're saying they need to retcon it so Grogu doesn't die. Or maybe that is part of the... I literally heard this, I think last night on Twitter, somebody goes, well, how about this? How about Grogu doesn't... Is the way they rewrite everything. Grogu beats Kylo Ren. He learns the Force good enough, so he beats Kylo Ren. So Ben doesn't become Kylo Ren, and he stays being a good guy. Like, this is what people are doing.
How about stop guessing what the fuck happened to Grogu and wait till they come out with a movie about Grogu, because you know that's going to happen. It's not announced, but you know it's going to be a thing. There's going to be something to do with what happened during that time frame. So if you're just going to jump on the he must have died because he was with Luke bandwagon, you know, he survived on his own to begin with, right? He's got some crazy powers and shit that he does. You know, he's this big mysterious being. Something is going to happen to him that we'll find out about years later. So all y'all can just stop freaking the hell out, you know. But yeah. I mean, like, that level of rewriting just to appease your own mind. Come on. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah. And you got to remember, there's 20 years from now and then. And I can tell you right now, The Mandalorian for two seasons has been a story about a father and a son.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to change.
Yeah.
Prediction is Grogu will be back by episode 2 of next in the care of the Mandalorian. I will truly believe that Grogu is going to become Mandalorian. We're going to see him running around in little Beskar armor.
Hence hiding his identity.
Yeah.
Right?
So I truly believe we're going to get that. How we're going to get to that point, I don't know. What's going to cause that to happen, I don't know. But you have to realize Grogu here is a moneymaker. This thing here, I have no idea how much it costs. I'm sure it was over $10. All right, for this little thing, I'm sure it was over $10.
Yeah.
Going right to Lucasfilm and Disney. Yeah. They're not going to lose out on money like that by saying, all right, Grogu's done. We won't see him no more. And people were freaking out. They're like, oh, he's going to die. He's not going to die. He's not. He's going to come back. Yeah. The Mandalorian will have him again, and they're going to go from there.
You don't kill your cash cow. I'm surprised that there actually hasn't been Grogu-shaped Chicky Nuggies yet at fucking McDonald's. You know, with some kind of a Happy Meal doodad or, you know, whatever. But it's coming, guys. I'm telling you. You will see officially licensed Chicky Nuggies on the market before the end of 2021. I risk Robert's livelihood on it.
Oh, thanks. I'll buy it.
Yeah. I'll eat those freaking nuggies.
Chicken nuggies. Damn. But... honestly, I mean, it's crazy how people, and I'm all for speculation. That's how I started podcasting and doing videos, you know, 5-6 years ago, was just speculation. My buddy and I were like, oh, The Force Awakens, what do we think is going to happen? Or The Last Jedi, what do we think is going to happen? We just sat down and just jumped on Google Hangouts and just started talking, and we recorded and posted it. That's how we got started podcast. I got started podcasting is just talking Star Wars and speculating. That's fun, but I'm not going to get angry at the whole concept of, well, I don't like what they did, so they have to do it this way, or maybe this will happen so they can get rid of that. It's just dumb. Like, come on. Like, come on.
You're creating storylines to get rid of storylines.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with you mentally if that's your process. I'm not here to judge you, but I'm judging you.
I wonder how they live life, like walking around doing stuff. Like, man, but I don't know. It's been a great conversation. I love having you on the show. Do you have anything else that you want to bring up with this whole thing? Like, again, I think we covered it. They're not going to change the sequels. They're not going to remove the sequels. They may tweak it. They may find ways to retcon little things here and there.
You know what? Here's my take on that, guys. That's what fan fiction is for. Fucking go knock yourselves out. You go write your own stuff, you know? Go write your own unlicensed material and live in your little Star Wars fantasy land that things are going to go the way you want to go. And do that with everything in the world that you don't like. Just write your own shit, you know? and leave everything else alone to the people who, you know, have more to do with their lives, I guess. But yeah, no, I think we covered a lot of stuff, and thanks for indulging me on my rabbit holes there. I think that, there's a lot that's still unanswered. And I guess part of why people get so worked up is because they don't know, they don't know what's coming down the road, and they want that instant gratification. They need answers right now. And the fact that they might have to wait to see how things fall into place. Some people can't handle that. Sometimes I'm that way. But, you know, like you're saying, there's so much content coming out. So many different timelines are going to be explored. Some stuff we'll kind of revisit and make you nostalgic, and some will be, you know, brand new, uncharted territory. I'm actually, as an old school fan who's been really wound up in all the old stuff, I'm really looking forward to the uncharted territory with all new characters, right? So that I can once and for all kind of just say that I've accepted where this franchise has gone, and I really want to see a new take on it without having to, constantly harken back to the past. Take it to a new dimension, take it to new areas, take it to new universes, new characters, new timelines, whatever. I'm all for it. And, I think that the legacy characters are great, but at some point, when we have to resort to, Princess Leia floating through space to account for, crazy continuums, I'm done. That's it. There's nothing else to tell. You've jumped the shark and you've ruined it for me. So let's move on.
Moisture Farmer Union, hey, thanks for jumping on and watching and checking us out. I do want to, comment on your comment here. Like Star Wars Theory and his $100,000 Vader fan films. I don't know, Mike, if you've checked out Star Wars Theory. He's a YouTube channel. He is a diehard Star Wars fan. I've been shouting to him to get him on my show here, me jump on his show or something, because he's a really cool guy, and his story is really interesting on how he got to doing what he's doing. And he's kind of a big deal in the Star Wars fandom.
Cool.
One of the reasons why is he made a really cool fan film, a Vader fan film, of what happened, like things that happened between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope with Vader, like his mindset and things going on. And I don't know if 100,000 is right. Moisture Farmer, you may know more about it than I do, but I know it cost him a lot of money to do it. And here's the crazy thing. He can't make money off of it. The way Lucasfilm is, they're all like, hey, go make fan films, do your thing, make fan films, but you can't make money from it.
Yeah.
And so he's putting all this money into these fan films. I'm okay with that. Like, yeah, go make fan films. Have fun with that. That isn't sitting there changing and demanding change. You're just saying, what would be a cool idea? This, and does it.
When you're at the level that you have an idea and you're like, I'm just going to do this myself. Hey, more power to you. Props. That's awesome. I'll have to check that out. And by the way, for Moisture Farm Union, what are the benefits like in that union at this point? I Can't imagine that.
I'm going over Tatooine lately, you know.
Right, global warming and stuff might be working out for you.
I heard that Lars family got burned to death somehow.
Yeah, it's kind of a toasty one. Yeah, no, but that's great. I'll have to check that out. And you know, I'm all about fan fiction. In fact, a lot of times I like it. But the point that I made with that whole rant was, hey man, go make your own content. I mean, if you have the ability to do it and you've got something to say, go focus on that and let these guys focus on what they're going to focus on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, have fun. I do every once in a while, I'll make fanfic up. I mean, Colton, who is my co-host for Bridging the Geekdoms and has sometimes been on Shooting the Sith, we've sat down and we've sat there like, oh, he's really cool for an Obi-Wan series. And we've gone back and forth like, oh, what if Mace Windu shows up and he turned to the dark side for some reason and this and that, you know, Cal Kestis should, like, we do that. It's not because I'm sitting there saying this needs to happen. I'm just saying that'd be kind of cool if it did. That's pretty much all fanfic is it'd be cool if it happened. It's not demanding that there's a new timeline. It's not demanding that they do this to fix something else. It's just to have a little fun and go from there.
Or what if elements?
Yes, what if elements? It comes up, I believe Taika Waititi's film isn't canon. Just let him take Star Wars concepts and reimagine characters. Like if he adapted the original Star Wars script that Fox said was too crazy to film. So you're saying Taika Waititi, who we don't know what he's filming yet, but you're saying that it isn't going to be canon with Star Wars. That would be kind of ballsy for Lucasfilm to do, if you think about it. To sit there and say, look, this film, its own thing. They can do that in comics. They've done it in comics. They took the original Star Wars script and made it into comic book form. It's not canon, and it's got all the crazy ideas that Lucas had back in the early 70s when he wrote it. But I can't imagine them dropping $200-300 million on a movie and saying, you know what? We're going to try something. Here's this. Doesn't match up. It doesn't fall in line with anything else. This is just its own thing. If they got anybody to do it, Taika Waititi probably would be the best choice for that. But I can't believe that's what they would do. But it's an interesting thought. Definitely is.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out, you know, in like 3 years, right? Or however long it's going to be. But
yeah, we don't know when his movie's coming out. I know that they have movies lined up for 2023, 2025, and 2027. Those are the films. That doesn't mean they change. We could get 2 1 year. We could get one in 2024 and 2026. I don't know. We don't know yet, but I guess we'll find out soon enough. And if Disney truly starts to put a heavier focus on Disney Plus, we could see a lot of these movies going, you know, some of these smaller budgeted movies going right to Disney Plus. We could see that happen.
Yeah. And honestly, if Disney Plus takes off on the trajectory that it's already on, you could see, you know, Disney Plus not just being a kind of a shoveling off point, if you will, but really a focus for big production, big budget stuff that warrants maybe an increase in price for Disney Plus, you know, so.
Well, they're already going up in March. I think it's going up $1. Yeah, I think it's going to, I mean, I think we're going to see that over the next few years. Every year it's going to go up $1. And then one, probably within like 3-4 years, they're going to say, all right, there's a $5 price hike now. You know, I mean, that's what I see.
Yeah, I see it taken on the Netflix model for sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think that what remains to be seen, there's some cool stuff in the works, and whether or not it, you know, turns out to be canon or not canon, I'm looking forward to all of it regardless. You know, new content, new material, new directors and writers on board, and seeing people's interpretations of stuff, I think is cool. So it's, I don't know, from an old school nerd standpoint, it's a pretty exciting time. And, you know, it's, there's just too many unanswered questions, but, I'm ready to be patient at this point.
Yeah. And you know, just real quick, Moisture Farmer jumps in. He's saying that's not what should happen, but it's just his wish. You know, he read the Star Wars comic based on the original script and how did it not get made. I think it was, I mean, that was all George Lucas. I mean, you got to remember that original script, you know, there was many iterations to get to where he got. It didn't get made because of Lucas. You know, right. He had the ability. That was essentially a low budget, you know, what is the word I'm looking for? You know, independent movie, essentially, is what Star Wars was to a certain point. He could have made whatever he wanted. He could have done that original script, but it was his desire to constantly make the changes and have different drafts to get to where he got. And, you know, with what he's done since then, we've seen bits and pieces of what he originally had planned. And, you know, with Filoni and what they're doing over at Lucasfilm now, we're seeing a lot of the old concept art from Ralph McQuarrie and stuff like that make its way into Star Wars. So it's really cool. And I think that was kind of why they did the comic, because it's kind of like, look, this is a really interesting idea. This is vastly different than what we got on screen.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine them ever making it. It would be cool to see. Maybe down the line they do something like that, if they can find a cheap way to do it. Maybe animation.
Maybe animation is exactly what I was thinking.
But I can't see them dropping, you know, a few hundred million dollars on a non-canon film. I just don't see it happening. But that's me. But again, thanks, Mike, for jumping on. We're over that hour mark. I like to keep around an hour, so thanks for being on. Everybody who's watched or watching, thank you so much for watching, for checking us out. Hit that like button, smash that subscribe button, smash the like, hit the like, I don't know, whatever. Just hit those buttons, please. I'm trying to get the subscription base up, so please, please hit that. Follow me on Twitter at Bridge Geekdoms. You can also find Shooting the Sith on there. I don't really use that one. I'm kind of moving away from that. I want to focus on one Twitter account. So at Bridge Geekdoms, you'll see it right there. Yeah, there we go. And Mike, Misery Point Radio, how can they find you if they want to talk Star Wars with you?
Well, they can find me at Misery Point Radio pretty much all over the social media spectrum there. They can also find me on the Spoilerverse at spoilerverse.com/Misery Point Radio. Can also go to miserypointradio.podbean.com. And please, 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 when you go to sleep tonight, think about me, dream about me, dream about the show. Check out Misery Point Radio for some cool pop culture stuff, but also interviews with bands, artists, you know, musicians. I bring the metal pretty heavy, so you know, come prepared. And Robert, thank you, brother, for always having me on your show. I enjoy it, and it's my chance to kind of get out there and break outside of my little cozy corner that I'm stuck in here sometimes. So I appreciate the opportunity to come hang out with you.
No problem. I enjoyed it. I love the talk. I love talking Star Wars, so I'm always for Star Wars talk. So thanks for being on. Again, everybody, thanks for watching, and may the Force be with you.
See you guys later.